Well, I wanted to acknowledge the piano playing. That was amazing, beautiful. So I hope that the bin man story resonated with you. I did bring it in 2019, so some of you may have recognised it. But hopefully those with you with children can bring that to life actually a bit through conversation too. So when I'm trying to think about what God has laid it on my heart to talk about today, particularly when there isn't a particular structure that I have to follow, so David said, doesn't matter, you choose. I try and kind of listen and be alert to messages that I might be hearing. And I've sort of recently found myself really questioning how on earth we see such terrible unkindness in the world. Awful acts of cruelty and greed and hatred and anger. And there's so many examples, aren't there, of war and conflict and factions. And it's a bit hard to get your head around. And so there are four things that have been sort of laid on my heart recently where I saw the goodness in them and felt, well, I think that's what I'm being asked to talk about today. So they're a bit of a random mix. I watched two films and I heard a radio topic. So it is a random selection. It's a scene from Ben-Hur. It's a radio for thought for the day. It's a film about an octopus, and it's the bin man story. And I'm going to somehow try and bring that together for you under the heading of Jesus's teaching. Because actually, in all of those, that's really what came out for me. So I'm going to try and prompt you, to remind you, challenge you maybe, and I'm going to try and do that by sharing reflections now and then around some of the areas I want to talk about. So rhetorical question though for a minute, what kind of pupil are you? Am I? Are you attentive? Are you engaged? Are you listening and doing what Jesus has taught you to do or asked you to do? Or are you hearing but not listening? And there is a difference. So to hear is that kind of physical bit of hearing, but to listen means that you've tried to actively understand what somebody has told you and you're going to do something about it, importantly. So what's the point? So what I'm trying to get us to think about is, what is Jesus asking us to do? So what was his teaching style? I just want to think about that for a minute. He chose stories and parables then. He chose proverbs. He chose metaphors. And he did that to try and bring it to life for listeners so that they can imagine themselves in the story, which is why I felt that related to the bin man. He rarely used technical language, jargon. He rarely used complex or unnecessary detail or theory. Rather, he kept his message simple and made it real. So I'm hoping to do the same in sharing some of the messages that I felt were important. His core message, though, is focused on the kingdom of God, instructing people to love God and to love others, show compassion to outcasts, and to show kindness and forgiveness. And he taught everywhere, anywhere, actually. He would talk and teach when he was walking along by the road, by the sea, in a synagogue, on a hillside, making his lessons just part of daily life, not a set-aside time for academic study, just part of daily life. So I'm going to focus predominantly, there's loads of teachings, of course, but I'm going to focus predominantly on loving our neighbours and on forgiveness. Mona Siddiqui is a professor of religion and society, King's College London. On the 23rd of April, she delivered a thought for the day. The story she told was actually started about a student who had asked her whether it would be okay, as part of her academic study and presentation, to deliver a presentation on abortion. She came from a Christian family and she thought it was immoral. It's less about that I wanted to talk about, though. That was powerful and interesting in itself. But it was towards the end of it, the bit that resonated with me. She spoke about knowledge. And she said, knowledge matters not only for what it gives us, but for what actually it demands of us. Because to know something means that you've got to do something with it, you've got to use it, you've got to be changed by it, learn something from it. She challenged that we're not to echo the world as it is once we have knowledge, but to question and imagine what it might become. Question and imagine what it might become if we used the teaching that Jesus gave us. What a wonderful world it would be. Jesus taught us that we must become like a child, approach the world with innocent curiosity, humility, and a readiness, that eagerness to learn. Here's a reflection first then. Are you too grown up and too experienced to still learn? Have you been a Christian for so long that you think you know what's required of you? Or are you still keen to listen, keen to learn, still curious and still asking questions? He was a teacher who led by example, asking questions over giving answers, actually. Probably in modern working language, he had more of a coaching style of leadership. He wanted to prove a thought by reflection, challenge, and discovery. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is a really great example of that. It's Luke 10:25-37, but I'm just going to give us a quick recap. I know it will be a very familiar story. A religious lawyer asked Jesus how to inherit eternal life. Jesus points to the greatest commandment, to love God and to love your neighbour as yourself. The lawyer says, who is my neighbour? To explain, Jesus speaks of a Jewish traveller who is beaten, robbed and left for dead on the dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. A priest and a Levite both see the injured man, but cross to the other side of the road to avoid him. A Samaritan, a group of people who were deeply despised by the Jews at the time, he comes along. He doesn't walk by, though. He shows compassion and bandages his wounds. He puts him on his own animal, he takes him to an inn, and then he pays personally for his treatment. When asked by Jesus which man acted like a neighbour, the lawyer, of course, replied, the Samaritan, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus commanded him to go and do likewise. Reflection. Love is an action. It's not just a feeling. Our neighbour is not just somebody who lives next door. It's strangers. It's outcasts. It's rivals, even. The Samaritan sacrificed his time, safety, and money to help a rival in need. What would we do? Are we listening? How would we have responded to the bin man? What kind of leader and teacher was Jesus then? He often challenged religious leaders' interpretations of the law, and he would kind of set a new moral standard. A bit like Mona Siddiqui said, we're not to echo the world as it is, but to question and imagine what it might become. In the workplace, we often talk about the crucial role of leadership, and we reference courses and books and podcasts and attend leadership development courses. But a critical trait of a good leader is to lead by example, and what better example do we have than Jesus? Because that's exactly what he did. He was a true role model for us. He practiced when he preached and what he preached. He embodied humility and service that he asked of his followers, including teaching alongside them. So reflection, are you role modelling the behaviours Jesus asked of us as Christians when we step out of here in our everyday interactions? Are you modelling it in your actions and not just in your thoughts? Because love is an action, not just a thought. I read some modern day examples somebody had pulled together, and it probably was a kind of, an internet search that brought it up, not necessarily AI. But I thought it was quite an interesting take. So radical love and compassion Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus asked, which were the greatest commandments? And he teaches us that we prioritize wholehearted love for God and extend that same selfless love to others. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So today then, love your neighbor. That might be us working to support charities to help the homeless. It might be giving to those who are hungry, giving or working at food banks, influencing the sharing of the world's food resources, sharing with those who simply have less, giving others a fair chance and fair opportunities. You might be in a position that you can do that. Showing hospitality and welcoming strangers, refugees perhaps, into your communities. Being kind to somebody who's outcast and allowing the bin man to use your toilet. And next is about bold and brave forgiveness. So individuals choose to forgive those who have deeply wronged them, breaking then the cycle of hate. And this has resonated with me for a long time, but probably particularly being in the kind of policing organisation. Dr. Neville Lawrence, the father of murdered teenager Stephen Lawrence, publicly forgave his son's killers to free himself from the heavy burden of hatred. Driven by his Christian faith, he sought to let go of what he described as corrosive anger. He explained that holding on to that hatred was just such a heavy load, and as part of his faith journey, he chose to forgive the attackers, to lift that burden, and to free himself. Paul and I then recently watched Ben-Hur, and there, for me, there was a really lovely point in there that Esther made, and I was sort of frantically trying to make a note because I felt that I wanted to share it today. It's a really small part of the film, but a really powerful line. So Esther and Ben-Hur are very much in love, and they were brutally separated when his brother betrayed him and the Romans took him away, and he was treated terribly as a slave. And he miraculously survived, but he was full of hate in the end, and he was full of anger. Emotionally, much as she loved him, she couldn't see a future for them when they were reunited because he was so full of hate. And she said, but faith brought you back to me. Faith is what kept you alive. And he argued, it wasn't faith, my faith isn't strong enough. Rather, it was hate for my brother that kept me alive. I became hate. And Esther said, let Masala go. Don't you see? Spend your energy and time on hatred, and you're still a slave. And then the octopus film. Anybody seen it? Not many others. Okay, that's just literally Nick and Ali, I think. So recently we watched a film called Remarkably Bright Creatures, and it is centred on a witty and very observant giant Pacific octopus named Marcellus. The main message in the story is that healing and purpose can come from the most unexpected places. And it emphasises the importance of human connection, actually, and vulnerability in overcoming deep grief. Tova is a lonely widow who works the night shift as an aquarium cleaner. She's lost her only son in a tragic accident when he was just 18. She has no surviving siblings or family. Cameron is a troubled young man who is bitter and angry from a life of abandonment. He can't hold a job down. His girlfriend has dumped him and he's been kicked out of his apartment. Tova forms an extraordinary bond, sorry, I couldn't say that, with the highly intelligent octopus who watches human foolishness and kind of narrates throughout the film, if you like. It's quite clever. So the octopus connects Tova and Cameron and helps them to stop carrying heartbreak alone. He enables them to unravel some long hidden and unexpected happy truths. I won't tell you too much now because I would like you to go and watch it. And it's the kind of film that you've watched with children too. But why an octopus then? Well, apparently a giant Pacific octopus has a short lifespan, typically just 3 to 5 years. Poignant then is that time is precious and relationships and behaviours shape our lives. Don't waste time being angry. Don't waste time being lonely, bearing grudges. Knowing he is near the end of his 4-year life cycle, he operates with this strict countdown to solve the mystery of Tova's son before time runs out. The teaching then. Well, for me, there was absolutely loads of messages in that film because she was a very lovely lady and there were examples of kindness, not being judgmental, not being a gossip, not judging, and importantly, about forgiveness, about not harbouring hate and releasing your burdens and being free, being at peace and being happy. All examples, then, of Jesus' teaching. So reflection, do you need to forgive somebody? Are you carrying a burden of a grudge? Cameron and Tova were released from theirs when the octopus helped them to see things differently. Esther and Judah and his brother Masala could love again. Jessica was taught an important lesson in the bin man story, and there was a gentle reminder that Jesus, if you ask for forgiveness and share with him, will take away your rubbish. He will destroy it if you hand it over, and even better, he will clean it up for you so that your life is clean. Nicola shared with me that David had recently preached on forgiveness. So just a reminder for you of the headings that he, or some of them. Forgiveness is not approving or diminishing wrongdoing, nor is it denying wrongdoing. It's not about waiting for an apology. Importantly, it's not about forgetting it either. It doesn't mean that you'll cease to feel the pain, and it's not a one-time event that's suddenly over. And a bit like Stephen Lawrence's father, forgiveness is not about neglecting justice. Forgiveness isn't necessarily reconciliation. It's not that suddenly everything is all okay, because it takes one person to forgive and two to reconcile. But to forgive, you will feel free of the burden of hate. It will free you of corrosive anger. Jesus teaches us to forgive, to free from heavy emotional and spiritual burden, and to reflect God's grace. God forgives us for our shortcomings. Jesus tells us, pay it forward and extend that same mercy to others. Well, there it ends. Final reflection. We reap what we sow. Jesus will return. Will you recognise him? Will you be ready? Are you living your life as he taught us to do? Feels only right then, in a minute, to stand and sing, Strength Will Rise, as we wait upon the Lord. Just before we do, let's pray. Thank you, God, for your unending love. Thank you for your teachings, for your concern to help and encourage us in our journey through this precious life. I pray that today we leave chapel with renewed energy to do your will. Amen.